Opening words this morning are by Robert French Leavens. Holy and beautiful the custom which brings us together in the presence of the Most High, to face our ideals, to remember our loved ones in absence, to give thanks, to make confession, to offer forgiveness, to enlighten, and to be strengthened. Through this quiet hour, breaths, the worship of ages, the cathedral music of history, three unseen guests attend. Faith, hope, and love, let our hearts prepare them place. Candles, fire, and stars, these are the symbols of the most blessed seasons. Candles of the banishing of darkness, fires to warm hearth and home, stars to beckon us, guiding our footsteps to the holiest. I'm going to invite Michelle up, Michelle Cote, our Director of Religious Education, to share a message for all ages on Lights of Hope.
So I'm actually just going to stay down here. So I want you to imagine, if you will, that we had no electricity. And think about, what time does it get dark in the afternoon? Early, like 4 o'clock, even before you eat dinner. Pretty much sometimes you're still coming home from school and activities, especially if you're in high school. And you have no light. No electricity, no light, nothing. All you have is your home. And before the days of fire, you didn't even have that. Can you imagine what a lonely, cold life that... I don't know if it was lonely. Perhaps people got together. But how cold you would have been and how puzzled you would have been. Because back, way back, before people knew a lot about science, they didn't understand why the sun was setting earlier. They didn't get that it was the rotation of the sun... I mean, the planets around the sun... And so they just lived in constant hope that the sun would come back. And so they started doing a lot of dances and rituals and parties in hopes that the sun would come back. And guess what time of year they did most of those in? In winter, yes, pretty much at this time of year, because they were like, wait, where's the sun? We need to hope that the sun will come back. Eventually people got it. They started understanding that the sun would come back, and they got fire, and they got candles, and they got electricity, so that made it a lot easier. But still now, candles stand for hope. Many, many times, every time we light a candle, there's a hope attached to that candle. There's a hope that the sorrow that it brings or the joy that it brings will either continue, or that that hope with joy will continue, that there'll be some hope that your sorrow will diminish by sharing it here. So every year and every week we light candles for hope. And in particular in this season, I'm just going to read a few holidays. Can you hold this? Some of the holidays around here, sometimes Diwali, but that usually is not around this time of year. There's a festival of light called Loy Krathong in Thailand. There's the winter solstice. There's Kwanzaa. There's Hanukkah. There's St. Lucia's Day. There's Advent. There's the Lunar New Year. That's just some of the few holidays that all celebrate around the theme of light and that the hope that light brings. So today we are recognizing two different special candles of hope. The first is the Christian holiday of leading up to Christmas is called Advent. It's the 4 Sundays before Christmas, and it's called Advent. It's a time of waiting and waiting for Christ to be born. If you're Christian, that's what you believe. And every week in the Christian tradition, they light a different candle. And each week has a different theme. And this week's is hope. So Mike is going to light the first Advent candle for hope, much like the people have done for thousands of years, well, hundreds of years since fire got recognize. And then we're going to light a very special candle, because there's a disease, illness called AIDS. And it has been around for since the 70s, 80s. And it, in our country, we are very lucky. We haven't cured AIDS, we haven't cured HIV, but we've come a long way, and people can live long lives with this disease. Unfortunately, in many places throughout the world, people are dying every single day of this disease. So we are going to light, this is the candle of hope for AIDS, the recognition that AIDS is still here, and we still need to be mindful and caring and thoughtful about it. And so we're lighting that candle in real hope that we can make strides to help people throughout the world conquer this awful disease. And as you go through the holiday season, just remember that every time you see a candle, think of that it's a sign of hope.
I'm going to begin our time of meditation with sharing a reading with you written by Alice and Anna Chaika Naisman. She's a daughter of one of our very own members here at FBC, Margie Naisman, and she's also a minister at the Hudson Malbar Church. In a world so filled with brokenness and sorrow, it would be easy to lose ourselves in never-ending grief, to be choked by our outrage, to be paralyzed by the enormity of suffering, to feel our hearts squeezed tight with hopelessness. Instead, this morning, let us simply breathe together as we hold our hearts open, breathing in as our hearts fill with compassion, breathing out as we pray for healing in our world and in our lives, breathing in, opening ourselves to the transforming power of love, breathing out as we pray for peace in our world and in our lives, breathing in as we hold hope in our hearts, breathing out as we pray for justice in our world and in our lives. May we know our strength. May we be filled with courage. May our love flow from us into this world. Breathing in, we are the prayer. Breathing out, we are the healing. Breathing in, we are the love. Breathing out, we are the peace. Breathing in, we are the hope. Breathing out, we are the justice. May we know our strength. May we be filled with courage. May our love flow from us into this world. Amen. Blessed be. May it ever be so. It's now that time in the service where we like to share our gifts. Each month, First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton shares half of their plate to a nonprofit organization. This month, we will be sharing those funds with Guest Table, our community service dinner, and I invite Kathy Haberly to come up to maybe share a few words about that.
All right. My sister's the minister. I'm the one who's usually in the pews, so pardon me for any nervousness or talking really, really fast. My name is Kathy Haberly, and I'm one of the many people at FPC who volunteer with Guest Table. Guest Table is a free community dinner held on the first Friday of the month at FPC. We served our first dinner in November 2015 and have had a monthly dinner ever since, except when we've had to cancel because the weather didn't cooperate. We serve everyone who comes regardless of need and don't ask for names or any information other than their town of residence, and even that is optional. Even though we don't ask for any information from our guests, I've talked to a number of guests over the past 4 years and learned why they come to our dinners. While this area is overall very prosperous, the cost of living is very expensive, and in particular, housing is a large portion of people's living expenses. Many families find after rent, mortgage, utilities, gas, or other needs are paid for, there is little left to buy food. Some are on SNAP benefits, but these benefits limit what you can buy. For example, prepared foods are not part of the program. For people with mobility issues, this limits their meal choices. Many of our guests are seniors who come to ensure that they stay on their fixed budget. In addition, many feel isolated and lonely and come to our dinner to feel connected to the community. I have had a guest confide in me that they cannot afford internet service, so they come to community dinners in order to be connected to the community and the outside world. While guest table is only part of the solution, we do assist in combating food insecurity and isolation in our community. We rely on donations to put on our dinner where a large portion of our budget is food. We are not part of the FPC budget, and we are an all-volunteer organization. Those involved in guest table will be wearing these T-shirts. We'll be wearing light blue T-shirts this month, so you can find us easily and ask questions about getting involved. I was the only one wearing it this month, but you can all come to me and I'll point out all the people who forgot to wear their T-shirts. Hector, Mary, Jolene, yeah. Anyway, thank you all for your support.
I'm going to share something personal, but something that is important to share. And it's going to be harder to share after singing that song with you. Growing up as the youngest of three girls, I had the opportunity to have two older sisters to look up to. My oldest sister, Kathleen, is almost 13 years older than me when I was born, and my sister, Jackie, had just turned 5. The age gap offered a few things. One, I was spoiled rotten. My oldest sister, Kathleen, I'm sure would have more to add on that topic. I remember being doted on with lots of attention, not just from my sisters, but mostly my family and friends. I feel fortunate to have had those memories, when I was a young child. I was close with my two sisters, but in different ways. My sister Kathleen was older, more mature, and would take me out on outings and overnights as we got older. I was right there doting over her children as her own family grew. When Kathleen and I connected a lot, but mostly through her own children. My sister Jackie and I had a much different kind of connection, a connection so deep that it love and hurts all at the same time. She was 5 years older than me, but as we grew older, I felt more and more like her older sister. Jackie faced more challenges as a child than most, the kind of challenges that change you as a person. She faced sexual abuse at a young age. Had learning disabilities, always struggled in school. Her social experiences left her craving for better friends. She was not all that successful at making and keeping friendships with her peers. This desperation led her to making the wrong kind of friends. She sacrificed so much of what she wanted in a friend just to have one. These so-called friends had their own challenges and struggles, and over the years, her social circles got her into a lot of trouble. According to Jackie, negative attention was still attention, and she craved it all the time, wherever she was. As her sister, this was scary and hard to witness. I did all that I could do to help her, and it was hard for all those who knew her and who loved her. Sadly, she lived most of her teenage years running away from home, living a life of promiscuity, drug use, and dropping out of high school. For the times she would be home, Jackie would want so badly to do the right thing, make better choices for herself, get her GED. She would turn to me looking for advice and encouragement. There's the older sister role change again. I ached inside wanting to help her. There wasn't anything I could do to change the path that she was on. At 19 years old, my sister gave birth to her son, Christopher. She loved being a new mom. She had Christopher to focus on. This was a very special time because I could see her path changing, and it felt so good to be a part of that. And she loved Christopher so much, and she was always able to get that good belly laugh out of him, and it was a nice exchange that the two of them always had, often. It wasn't long before her demons pulled her back into the darkness. In 1992, my sister Jackie became HIV positive and died 3 very short years later, just 2 weeks after turning 25 years old. Her wake was held on my 20th birthday, her son only 5 years old. In the early 90s, when you heard the acronyms HIV or AIDS, it was considered a scary death sentence to whoever contracted it. HIV, the human immunodeficiency syndrome, was first detected in 1959. A man in Kinshasa, Democratic Republic of the Congo, was diagnosed. The cause unknown. It spread throughout Africa and then eventually around the world. AIDS, the acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, which is the progressive phase of HIV, has taken the lives of over 45 million people worldwide. December 1st of each year, today, is internationally recognized as World AIDS Day, which is why we lit the candle below. The global public health campaign is dedicated to bringing awareness to the AIDS pandemic, to the spread of HIV infection, as well as mourning those who we've lost. It has taken many years of many people working together to fight against this pandemic. Huge strides have been made, and we now have more access to antiretroviral treatments in many regions worldwide. But as Michelle stated earlier, not all people have access to this. This treatment oppresses the infection of HIV, which allows many folks who are HIV positive to live normal lives, longer lives. The death rate has decreased, 1 million deaths in 2016 compared to almost 2 million in 2005. But there are still over 36 million people living with HIV, so the fight isn't over. The theme of World AIDS Day this year is Community Makes a Difference. It is our responsibility to educate ourselves and to bring awareness to HIV and AIDS to those around us. As members of this UU congregation, we know what can happen when we come together as a community. If you want to learn more about World AIDS Day, communities that make a difference, I invite you to check out the United Nations AIDS program at unaids.org. In closing, I want to share with you one last thought of my sister Jackie. She was a funny sister. Always joking around. Most of the time, her jokes were inappropriate and daring, to say the least. People around her were always laughing or wondering if she said what they really thought she said. Well, during the last week of my sister's life, we all had a good laugh. See, my sister was a smoker, and of course, she was not allowed to smoke in the hospital room. She was not fully aware of her surroundings at the time and wasn't even able to really know who was in the room. She kept signaling that she wanted to have a cigarette, and we kept telling her she couldn't. You can't have one, Jackie. Enough. You know, she was really driving us crazy. And we would tease her a little bit, but she was determined that she was going to have what she wanted. We decided to cut a piece off of her drinking straw from her water and gave it to her as a joke. And she was holding it in her fingers in her bed, and she had no strength, so she was really lethargic. But she was able to hold that straw. She took a few puffs of that straw, and boy, did she enjoy her very last cigarette. She believed it was a cigarette. And the rest of the my mom and my other some of my cousins in the room, it was really funny. Because she really believed it, and even though we were laughing at her, it was the best kind of last laugh to have, because it really summed up who my sister really was. She's just a funny, funny person. And humor has always gotten us through hard times, dark times. This time of year brings joy for most folks, but it can be hard for those of us who are still mourning the loss of loved ones. But joy can be found in sharing stories and funny stories. Thank you. I'm going to share words of benediction with you. Blessing for Hope on World AIDS Day by Maureen Killoran. It has been a long struggle, and our work is far from over. As we go forth, may we be empowered by the spirit of hope and healing, whose one name is God and whose other's name is love. May the blessings of love be upon us and within us. May love's truth be upon our vision. May love's wisdom dwell within our hearts. May love's persistence inspire our lips. May love's gentleness give comfort to our bodies. May love's gratitude accompany our sleep. May love's healing be a balm for our brokenness. May love's serenity give peace to our weary souls. May love's confidence energize our minds. May love's challenge keep us faithful. Faithful in our struggle, faithful in our conviction that love and justice and hope will ultimately prevail.